Okay. Good evening. My mic is on. That is all that matters. Okay. We are going to do our gathering prayer, so I need two volunteers to help me with that. Yes, Samuel, thank you very much. Woo. I see that hand. All right, Alicia, and what's your name? Joshua. Okay. Round of applause for Alicia and Joshua. Woo! Are you a willing volunteer? Okay, come on then. All right. Beautiful. Okay. And do we have a working mic for them? Yeah, we do. Benjamin Wilson is on his way down. Okay. Okay, try and speak into it and see. Okay, it's not on. Okay. We are having fun tonight. Okay. So, we're going to do, who's got the loudest voice out of you two? I feel like it might be Alicia. Okay, I'll tell you what, we don't need microphones because we're old school. We've and projection. Alicia is a loud woman and Joshua is a loud man. Okay, so Alicia, you're going to say the bits in light typeface and Joshua, you're going to set the pace for the bits in bold, which we're all going to join in together. Okay, so, go when you're ready.
Wake us up,
say that we're fully alive to you and creation.
Set us free, God.
Set us free from what holds us back so that we can find you.
We're made in your image, God.
We are beautiful, capable of greatness, and connected to you. Give us your rest. Help us stay in touching distance of your creation. Give us your rest.
Jesus called to all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens. He says, come to me and rest.
Lead us in the way of Sabbath rest. Okay, give these guys a round of applause. Okay, yesterday I set you a challenge to see whether you could fill up a page of thankfulness. Okay, and here's my page of thankfulness. If any of you did one. Okay, some of you did it all night. Okay, don't worry if you left it upstairs. Okay, some highlights from mine include peppermint creams. I don't know if I'm like trying to be an old person or something, but I do actually like them. Roast dinner. I put my wife on there as much because my life wouldn't be worth living if I didn't, but I am actually thankful for her. And I know, right? I didn't even think I was going to get an R for that. Okay. And I also put two of my good friends, Kieran and Joe. Okay. So now what we're going to do now is, because I know loads of you have done that because we've been talking about it today, and thank you for those of you who've had conversations with me, and thank you to everyone who has come and talked to me in spite of my face. And some of you have even said nice things about my face, so thanks very much. That's quite friendly, isn't it? Yeah? Okay, so what we're going to do, this is called our practice check-in. Because as I was saying last night, we don't just change just by being zapped. Here's the other thing to say, we can't do this without the Holy Spirit. Okay? We don't change without God, we don't change without the Holy Spirit, but we also don't change unless we actually do something. So we need both of those things, okay? And this is the part that we can do something about. This is where we help each other to change and take steps. So what we did yesterday was, we thought about things that we were thankful for, instead of constantly thinking about what we haven't got, what we haven't done yet, what we aren't yet, what experiences we haven't had yet. We were going to think about the stuff that we already had and we've already done, and thank God for that. So what I'd love you to do in groups of three or four is just kick these questions around in some small groups. And leaders, if you can sort of like dot yourselves around, maybe groups. What are the Letton Hall size groups? We won't go into the Letton Hall groups, but what are those size groups? About seven? So get into groups of about seven or eight, okay? And then leaders will dot themselves around. And just go through these questions. All right. Okay. Hopefully, people in your group have had a chance to share how that was for you, and what was good and what was difficult. Does anyone, like, one of the things that really helps us with this process, and I've done this process a few times with various groups, one of the things that's really helpful is if some people are willing to talk about what it was like for them doing this process, and that kind of helps other people to feel like, oh yeah, it was like that for me as well. Or some people in the room who maybe didn't try it or didn't get around to it, they can see how much doing things like this can help. So just to give you an example, I'll talk about what it was like for me. I found that some of the things that I put down, I kind of take for granted and don't think about a lot. So for example, two of my good friends, they're always there for me, and we talk all the time, we email each other every week, and I'm not actually always thankful for them. Like, I am thankful for them, but I'm not conscious of it. Does that make sense? And so when I wrote my list, I was like, oh yeah, like, those guys are there for me, like, the whole time. I'm so thankful that they're two of my good friends. I have fun with them, like, there's a lot of banter when we hang out, and they're just two really good people in my life. And I'd forgotten about that, so this process sort of helped me to do that. And it also helped me to think about, actually, a lot of the things that I chase after. I've already got a lot of them in the relationships that I have. So, does anyone else want to talk about, like, what was that like for you? Was it difficult? Was it easy? Does anyone want to share, like, something that was on their list? You could just, like, put your hands up and call out. Anyone will do. Yeah, Reuben. Okay, yeah, thanks. So, starting was harder. Once you got going, found it easier. Yeah. Did anyone else find it? Yes. Yeah, yes. Yeah, so you started thinking about other things you hadn't even thought of, like breaking it down a little bit. I'll come to you in a second. Yeah, Anna? Yeah. So Anna was just saying, for those of you who couldn't hear, hard to get started. You think it's going to be really easy, but actually once you come to start writing them down, it's a bit more tricky. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, okay. So you had to pray to get yours started. Yeah, great. So... okay, anyone else? I saw a couple of other hands, if you want to say anything. Yeah, thank you. I found it really... okay. I found that I started breaking some of mine down. So when I first started my list, I was like, family, friends. And then because I was trying to fill the page, I was like, Marilyn, Laura, Luke. And then I'd like put my nieces and nephews down, and I started listing them by names just to like fill up the space, because it became like this thing of like, can I fill up the page? But actually, yeah, it was a really good exercise for me to become aware of. So, well done, and thank you for those of you who participated in that experiment over the last 24 hours. And tonight I want to invite us to do another experiment. So I'm going to talk now for about 5 or 10 minutes and show you a couple of videos and introduce some ideas to you. And I'm just going to throw some ideas out there, and then you're going to have a chance to talk about them and see what you make of them. Because some of them you might be like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that. Or some of you might be like, oh, I'm really struggling with that idea. I'm not sure how I feel about that. And so I'm going to give you a chance to talk. And then if you want, you can come back at me and be like, Jace, you're wrong. Okay? I hear that a lot. All right, so this is the invitation bit. Okay? So yesterday, we were thinking about how God wants to give us rest. And God made his ancient people, the Israelites, he was so keen on them having a rest, he actually commanded them to rest, because he knows what us human beings are like. We get so carried away with like work and work, 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 work. But Jesus said something really, really important to a generation and to a world where we just are on the go so fast. Jesus said, come and rest with me. And I'm still trying to get my head around what Jesus meant by that, but I'm hoping that over the next few days together we're going to get a bit of an idea. This is what Jesus said in the Message version. So this, like, some of you may have come across the Message version of the Bible before. This is Matthew 11, those of you who are taking notes, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And this is Jesus speaking. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I don't know about you, but I want to live freely and lightly. I want to love life. I want to wake up every morning and not dread what's in the day ahead, don't you? I know that for some of you, you get up in the morning and you're like, I don't want to go to school because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't want to be around the people that make me feel like that. I don't want to have to sit in another lesson where I'm not sure what's going on. Some of us, we're not living free. We're not looking forward to each day. We're not waking up and saying, yes, come on, let's take the day on. And Jesus said he wants us to feel like that. He offered us a life where we can feel like that in the mornings. Now, we're still going to be dust, as we talked about last night. We're still going to hurt sometimes. We're still going to break down. But Jesus says life is possible where we can live freely and lightly. And he says if we try and live his way, that life is available to us. Do you want that? Some of you know what it's like to be tired and burnt out on religion. Some of you have spent a lot of time around religion and you think, I'm not really sure that this is quite the thing. And let me tell you, the people that talk to you about Jesus, the people that know Jesus, they're onto something. And if you hang around long enough, you'll get it too. So hang in there, okay? Because some of this stuff, like, it makes more sense the more time you're around it. And Jesus wants us to have a fulfilling life. Like, some of the stuff we're talking about here, like, the ideas of rest, and this is true for us as adults as well. Jesus wants us to have a fulfilling life. You know, the people in Jesus' day, they wanted to tie burdens on people's backs. And Jesus criticized the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they wanted to constantly give people rules. They were like, you can't do this, you can't do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do the other. And so Jesus came along and he said, hey, I'm not going to tie anything heavy on your back. I want you to live free and light. I want you to live the life that you were intended to live. And some of you, I know, you're starting to think, actually, yeah, I want to live a life that's free and light. It's the kind of life I want to live. I want to live that life. And I'm not here already with all the answers. You know, my life's freer and lighter than it was. But I'm still chasing after it. And some of the experiments that we're doing over these next few days, I'm doing them too because I want my life to be freer and lighter. One of the things that I think I want to talk about this evening is our phones and digital technology. Because I want to just put this out there, but like I'm an Apple guy. Like I love my iPhone. Yeah? Amen. All right. No, that doesn't get an amen, but that just gets a whoop. I love my mobile phone. Like not as much as I love my wife, but like it's with me probably more than Katie is, okay? So it's like a pretty big part of my life. And I don't know where I'm supposed to be without my phone. I don't know anyone's numbers. You know, like someone the other day was like, what's your wife's number? And I was like, who knows anyone's number anymore? It's in my phone. So like my phone is like a vital part. It's how I keep in touch with my friends and family. It's how I arrange to meet them and be in the same place at the same time. Our mobile phones are pretty amazing, but I've started to wonder whether sometimes our technology can get in the way of living free and light. Sometimes for me, as amazing as my phone is, and as amazing as the technology that I have is, sometimes it gets in the way of free and light life. I wonder if you find that as well. Well, hey, let's talk about it. So we're going to play a little game called Good Tech, Bad Tech. Okay? So what we're going to do, right, is so imagine like there's a line up here, okay, up this side. So if you're on this side, like just move that way a little bit just so we've got a gap. I want to be able to like walk up this gap. I don't want to step on you. So maybe which way do you want to go? Okay. So you guys on this side of the room. So yeah, if you want to move that way a little bit. Yeah, that way. Oh, look, like down this silver line, okay? So, on this side of the room, you guys are bad tech, okay?
Woo!
Big cheer for bad tech. Okay. Big cheer for good tech on this side of the room. Okay. What I want you to do, in twos or threes, is on this side of the room, what stuff is not so great about our technology? Because we all know, like, it's brilliant, these guys are going to do that. But what stuff isn't so great about our technology? And what stuff, on this side of the room, what stuff is brilliant about our technology? Okay? And specifically our digital technology. Go! Okay. Right. I hope you're ready with some answers. So, let's start on this side of the room. Good tech. What's good about technology? There's an app of the Bible. Oh, yes. That's a good one to start with. Yes, my man here. Leon. Keep in touch with people. Brilliant. Joe. Takeaways. Yes. Love that. Yeah, that's the same again, isn't it? Like, just eat! Yay! Kat. Take photos and memories, yeah? Everything's stored. Yeah, our lives are in our pockets, aren't they? It's pretty cool. Emily? Google! Hey! Okay, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the iPhone! Yes. Video games, okay, yeah, that's another one. Okay, so there is so much, isn't there, that is like really good about digital technology. We love it, don't we? We can't get enough. Maybe that's part of the problem. Okay, so on this side, what's not so great about our technology? Okay, we'll start, this time we're going to start at the back and work to the front, all right? So, yes. Yeah, so... our life is linked to how much battery we have left. Yeah, that doesn't sound too free and light. Yes, Lionel Messi. You've got stalkers on Snapnats, yeah. Our technology can give away where we are and we don't necessarily want to. Jada? Cyberbullying, yes. Yeah, it can dictate what people should be like. We're going to come on to that in just a second. Joshua? It defines your entire life on the internet? They can find you in... okay, sorry, yeah. People can find out stuff about you, yeah? When you get no likes, that's a bad thing about the internet, yes. Yeah, sometimes we can hide behind a screen creating a false image. Yep. Yeah, sometimes people don't socialize in the room. We've all seen it, haven't we? Like people sitting around a table and everyone's on their devices. No one's talking to the people. Emily's got her head in her hands. Yeah, so like video games can have like a really negative impact as well as like, you know, we had them on the fun side, but they can also, they have a flip side as well, don't they? They can impact our emotional state and yeah. Yeah, it's changed what we do with knowledge, hasn't it? Because we can just go straight online. I'll come to you two in a second. Yeah, at the back. Ordering too many takeaways, yeah. Henry James. Guys, just let's try and listen, because the bad tech guys listened when the good tech guys were talking. So let's... okay. Henry James. The microphones, sometimes it breaks down and then we're like really reliant on it, aren't we? Yes. You can get addicted. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's great. So it can distract you from being fully present in the room. So you're constantly like saying, what else is there? Yep. Yeah, yeah. Shall I tell you a cool little stat, okay, because we need to move on. We could clearly say more good stuff and more bad stuff. You know this posture that we do when we're looking at our phones? Do you know what the effect on our spine is like? It's like if you've got a small child, it's like if Elijah was sitting on the back of your neck, if you do that. That's the effect on your spine. So just the amount of time we spend doing that, like, that's bad for our posture. So imagine, like, Elijah's just, like, hanging off your neck, like, all the live long day, okay? Like, and maybe his mum probably knows a little bit about that. So it affects our bodies and everything. Now, just a quick straw poll. How many of you would say, just put your hands up, how many of you would say, I'm addicted to my mobile phone or computer games? Okay, a few people. Not everyone. Maybe about half the room, or maybe just slightly less. 40% of people. Did any leaders put their hands up? Yeah, a few leaders. Okay. So, let me give you some of the latest statistics, okay? So, the average, hands up if you own an iPhone. Okay. So these stats are particularly relevant to you, but they're probably not much different for other brands, but Apple are able to monitor this stuff because Apple are really cool. I just need to stop advertising Apple, but I just love it, I can't. So, the average iPhone user touches their phone, are you ready? 2,617 times per day. 76 different sessions on their phone, totaling 2.5 hours. Okay, now, that's just the average, and you guys are probably going, is that all? Because that includes old people who don't touch their phone very much, so they're part of that average. So if we segment the data to just under 30s, okay, so this is just people under 30, that goes up to 85 sessions over 5 hours, okay? So they're nearly double the average, your generation, okay? The top 10% of users, which your generation will be in, the top 10% of users tap or swipe their phone 5,427 times each and every day. Oh my goodness. Okay. Now, here's the other thing. Hang on. Go on. What if you're playing piano tiles? Well, on your iPhone, I guess it would go up. Yeah, you might be an above-average user. Okay, now just listen up. There's going to be time. You're going to get to talk about this stuff in a minute. And those of you who are taking notes, you'll be able to, like, throw some stuff into the mix as well. This was in the Times over the summer, okay? This statistic is quite interesting. Because you guys aren't just the top among the generations. You're also the top in the developed nations across the world, British teenagers. So listen to this. 37% of British teenagers count as extreme internet users, meaning that they spend more than 6 hours a day over a typical weekend. 6 hours a day. Okay, some of you might clock up more than that. On weekdays, 24%, so that's a quarter of you, are online outside of school time for 6 hours a day. Okay? Some of you, just put your hands up if you're like, yeah, I'm in that 24%. Okay? Okay. Listen. I'm not gonna talk to you for too long, but I wanna get this stuff out there and then you can talk about it. So those both figures are far higher than the average across all the developed nations in the world, okay? According to psychologists, this behavior would be categorized as compulsive behavior, okay? This is, like, psychologically it's a problem. Now let me show you the definition for addiction, because about 2 minutes ago I asked you if you thought you were addicted, and about 40% of the room put their hands up. So let's look, what is an addiction? An addiction is the relentless pull to a substance or activity that becomes so compulsive it ultimately interferes with everyday life. Okay? Now, looking at that definition, how many people in the room feel like they might potentially be addicted to their technology just by show of hands? Okay. So a few extras, but not many more. Okay? Some of you are like, I'm definitely not addicted. Okay. So, How is this stuff affecting us? How is our technology, if we're using our technology that much, how is it actually affecting us? Well, I've got a couple of short videos to show you that unpack that a little bit more. So let me just let the videos do the talking, and hopefully, don't worry about that. Yeah, can. Okay.
With social media sites being used by one-third of the entire world, they've clearly had a major influence on society. But what about our bodies? Here are five crazy ways that social media and the internet are affecting your brain right now. Can't log off? Surprisingly, 5 to 10% of internet users are actually unable to control how much time they spend online. Though it's a psychological addiction as opposed to a substance addiction, brain scans of these people actually show a similar impairment of regions that those with drug dependence have. Specifically, there's a clear degradation of white matter in the regions that control emotional processing, attention, and decision making. Because social media provides immediate rewards with very little effort required, your brain begins to rewire itself, making you desire these stimulations, and you begin to crave more of this neurological excitement after each interaction. Sounds a little like a drug, right? We also see a shift when looking at multitasking. You might think that those who use social media or constantly switch between work and websites are better at multitasking, but studies have found that when comparing heavy media users to others, they perform much worse during task switching tests. Increased multitasking online reduces your brain's ability to filter out interferences and can even make it harder for your brain to commit information to memory. Like when your phone buzzes in the middle of productive work. Or wait, did it even buzz? Phantom vibration syndrome is a relatively new psychological phenomenon where you think you felt your phone go off, but it didn't. In one study, 89% of test subjects said they experienced this at least once every 2 weeks. It would seem that our brains now perceive an itch as an actual vibration from our phone. As crazy as it seems, technology has begun to rewire our nervous system, and our brains are being triggered in a way they never have before in history. Social media also triggers a release of dopamine, the feel-good chemical. Using MRI scans, scientists found that the reward centers in people's brains are much more active when they're talking about their own views as opposed to listening to others. Not so surprising, we all love talking about ourselves, right? But it turns out that while 30 to 40% of face-to-face conversations involve communicating our own experiences, around 80% of social media communication is self-involved. The same part of your brain related to orgasms, motivation, and love are stimulated by your social media use, and even more so when you know you have an audience. Our body is physiologically rewarding us for talking about ourselves online. But it's not all so self-involved. In fact, studies on relationships have found that partners tend to like each other more if they meet for the first time online rather than with a face-to-face interaction. Whether it's because people are more anonymous or perhaps more clear about their future goals, there's a statistical increase in successful partnerships that started online. So while the internet has changed our verbal communication with increased physical separation, perhaps the ones that matter the most end up even closer.
Okay, so some of that might have shocked you. I sensed a bit of recognition in the room about the phantom vibration syndrome. Few people maybe recognize that one. Did anyone see? So if we think about, that's just like some of the ways that like our technology and particularly social media is changing what it means to be human, what it means to socialize, like all of these things. You're the first generation to ever be raised never knowing like a time before the internet and barely remembering a time before smartphones. Like, we've never done this on a generation of humans before, and we don't know what the effects are. And so this stuff, like, we're finding this out, but we're just like, hey, let's see what happens if we give kids mobile phones and just let them have it. Like, that's what's happening. Like, toddlers now, they're like, you know, they know how to swipe and stuff like that. Like, my little nieces and nephews, they'll like toddle up to my TV and like start going like that across the screen because they want to change the channel. And they're like looking at me like, your TV's not touchscreen. Like, we don't know what happens if we raise a generation like this, and no one is like asking the questions. So you might think like adults like me may regularly stand up the front and go, well, you shouldn't be on social media too much. But actually, like, and sometimes maybe it's like said in the wrong way, but actually there's good research that is showing like, hey, this isn't always completely good for us. And no one, I don't know, like, if we don't tell you this stuff, like, who is going to? Because the social media guys aren't going to. They want you to carry on using their platforms. So they're not going to go, hey, guys, maybe this isn't great for your mental health. Speaking of mental health, they did some research that came out about 3 or 4 weeks ago. You might have seen it. And they asked young people themselves. It wasn't like old men experts. They asked young people themselves, which social media platforms are worst for mental health? Did anyone see that research? No? I know some schools talked about it, because I was talking to some young people the other day. Okay, so let me show you some of the talking heads. Don't worry about the lights for this one, because it's only a short video. This is what some of the kind of young adults said when they asked them about the most damaging for mental health social media outlets.
Interesting to see what other people are doing without being nosy about it. Like,
you can find the best memes on internet.
I just like posting pictures of myself.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything on social media I find very curated.
You can create your own kind of like lifestyle online, so you can have a fake lifestyle.
I know that I've spent maybe like half an hour taking like the perfect like studying picture.
You do feel a bit intimidated.
And you go on your explore page and then you'll see somebody with, I don't know, a better car than you, better grades than you, like a better girlfriend than you. Like it could be anything and you'll always want more.
I think it's just made things really superficial.
Like they try and compare themselves to people on Insta and they don't know that these people are like photoshopping in the background and doing all this extra stuff. It's quite a depressing thing if you're climbing up to get somewhere but you're never going to reach.
Instagram, I think.
Instagram, by far. Is that right?
Between Instagram and Twitter.
Probably Facebook.
Facebook.
Snapchat, actually.
Honestly, I think Tinder. Real talk. Was that wrong?
Okay. So, do you wanna see the results? Let me show you the results. So this is like, which ones, wait. This one's which ones are best for mental health. Okay, so let's just have one conversation for a second. We've got loads of time to talk. So on this one, this line is, the laser's not working. Okay, the line that you can see where YouTube is, that's like net positive effect. So anything above the line means that overall it's positive. Anything below the line means that overall it's negative. Okay, so you can see that Instagram came out as the worst one, okay? And that's like by young people themselves talking about which one's worst. Hopefully you can see that. So here's a breakdown of the top one and the bottom one. So here's what people said about YouTube. I don't know why I'm doing that. It's not even plugged in. So this is what they said about YouTube. So you can see the bottom of the screen on the right-hand side in the yellow bar, the average weighted score. So it just came in just positive. If you use YouTube, overall the effect will be positive. People said stuff like awareness, self-expression, community building. It was good for emotional support. So people said, like, overall, YouTube seems to have, like, generally a positive impact, but stuff like sleep really badly affected. Can you see that one? Like major, that's a major bar. Anyone recognize that with YouTube, like in your own life? Oh, I stayed up late watching YouTube. Okay. Here's the worst one. Here's what they said about Instagram, okay? You can see again in the yellow bar at the bottom, the average weighted score is negative. Overall, if you use Instagram, people said it will have a negative impact on you. It was positive for stuff like self-expression and self-identity, but it was really, really negative for anxiety, sleep, body image, bullying, and FOMO, which is, as you all know, fear of missing out. So those things were the results of the survey. So when young people were asked, they said, actually, YouTube, overall positive. Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, overall negative. Now, that doesn't mean we're saying, well, we should never use them ever again. We're not saying that, but we're saying actually, if these things overall aren't that good for us, maybe we want to like limit our time on them. We don't want to spend our whole lives on them if people are saying that overall, if I spend loads of time on it, it has a negative effect on me. Here's the summary of the stats from that same survey. So half of 14 to 24-year-olds said that Instagram and Facebook made them feel more anxiety. Some of you, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, because I know that for some of you in the room, because we've talked about it already, some of you in the room know exactly that that's true. When you use those social media platforms, yeah, it increases anxiety. 70%, 7 in every 10, said that Instagram made them feel worse about their body image. And again, we won't do a show of hands, but I know that if we did, lots of us would say, actually, yeah, it's not great for how I feel about the way I look. And then 2/3 said that Facebook made cyberbullying worse. A couple of you mentioned cyberbullying when we were talking about good tech, bad tech. And so actually, overall, these things have a big effect on how we feel about ourselves and the amount of sleep that we get. Now hear me, because I'm really keen to say, like some of these statistics, they're like, they don't make pretty reading. But we're not saying that, oh, social media is evil. Like we're not saying never use social media again, but we're saying, hey, like, let's be careful with this stuff, because actually it can have an impact on our emotional health and well-being. Okay, now, one of the things that came out in that research pretty strongly was the stuff around sleep, okay? And I just want to talk, because these things relate to our challenges, the experiments that I'm going to invite you to have a go at, and that's why I'm talking about them really quickly. Okay, so why do we need sleep? Why is our sleep important? Well, you guys know, but I'm just going to give you a quick recap. Sleep is important for adolescent brain development. At no point in your life will your sleep be more important than it is at the age you are and until you're about between 25 and 30. Okay? So from now until 30, your sleep is massively important because your brain is doing all kinds of development and reconstruction work, which we don't have time to go into. But like, if you don't get sleep, it massively affects you. Weight management. When we sleep, our body manages the food that we eat, it manages our energy, it manages like the chemicals that break down the stuff that we eat and how much we need, what our appetite's like, how quickly we feel full. All of those things can be messed with if we don't have enough sleep. Heart attack and stroke prevention. I know this is like a depressing list, isn't it? But like, so our sleep actually helps us prevent, makes us less likely to have heart attacks and stroke preventions. It boosts our immune system. Okay, the less sleep we have, the more likely we are to catch stuff. Alzheimer's, which usually we think of as an old people's disease, but actually it's not just old people that get it. You can get it in earlier in life. If you don't get enough sleep, you increase your chances of getting that. Is anyone feeling like sleep might be important? Okay, we're just skimming over these things. Anger management, okay? If we don't get enough sleep, we're less able to manage our emotions. And especially if we're like not getting sleep because we're playing on our computer games or because we're watching YouTube. Mental health. I work in schools. And one of the things I go into schools is I say, hey, tell me what stuff your students are struggling with and we'll try and work out a way to help them. And right now, everything we're dealing with is to do with mental health and anger management. And if I could say one thing to the young people that in the schools I'm working in that would help them, it is get some flipping sleep. Like, that would help massively. We've all got other stuff going on. And when we look at stuff like weight management, like, all our bodies are different shapes anyway. If you're bigger or smaller, it doesn't mean that you're not getting enough sleep or you're getting too much sleep. Like, our bodies are different shapes, okay? So that's an important thing to say there. Our immune systems. Do you know what? No matter how much sleep you get, you're still going to get sick sometimes. Because remember, you're made of dust. So, but this is just like, these are things that can help us, okay? Sleep is really important. Now, this one, I just had to share this with you because, like, you need to know this. This is really important. So every day, our bodies produce killer cells that basically attack stuff like cancer in our bodies, okay? And not, your body produces natural cancer fighters every single day. Here's this stat. If you get less than 6 hours sleep, the amount of cells in your body of that kind of cell, of that kind of type, reduced by 70%. Okay, you need sleep. I need sleep. Now remember I told you I'm doing an experiment to try and get 8 hours of sleep a night. Now you're starting to see why. Yeah? Here's a picture to help you understand, like big picture, what's going on. Imagine if you woke up tomorrow morning and you didn't brush your teeth. Okay? Some of the bits of food that you didn't get properly tonight would stay there, like that, you know, that taste you have in your mouth in the morning, like that would stay there for a bit longer. And imagine if you didn't clean them tomorrow night when you went to bed. You know, your breath might start to smell a little bit, but, you know, it probably won't be too bad. And imagine if you carried on that day after day after day, you'd like start getting those bits of plaque building up between your teeth. And eventually your teeth would start to decay and like it would hurt when you eat stuff and when you chew. And then eventually your teeth would start to discolour and then they would like be rotting inside your head and then they have to be pulled out and you'd have no teeth. Now imagine, like when we sleep, that's like us like brushing our brain, if you like. That's the time when our brain like sorts out all of the plaque and the dirt and the dust from the day. Our brain gives it a good clean up. Okay? Now, if we don't get enough sleep, that's like you not brushing your teeth or not brushing your teeth properly. Do you remember when you were in junior school and you had to like have those red tablets? And then you'd like go and brush your teeth and then you take one of those tablets and you'd smile like that. And if you had loads of red bits, it was meant you had... Do you remember that? Or was it just in my school we did that? So, like, if we don't get enough sleep, that's like us not properly cleaning our brain or not cleaning our brains at all. So sleep, our sleep is really important, okay? Now, just in case there's anyone in the room who's thinking I can survive on little or no sleep. Some people think, like Margaret Thatcher was a famous one, and there's lots of other people. Bill Gates is another one. They say, oh, I can survive. Margaret Thatcher said she ran the country on 4 hours of sleep a night, okay? But here's from the research. The percentage of people... who can survive on 5 hours of sleep or less without any impairment, expressed as a percentage of the population is, can anyone guess? 0%, okay? That's expressed as a percentage and a whole number, okay? It's 0%. Those people just aren't really out there who can. There are a few people, but not many, like maybe 20 or 30 in the whole country. Believe me, and they probably die young. So, this is what the top researcher in the world on sleep, this is what he said. The shorter you sleep, the shorter your life. Okay? Now, contrast that with, I know this is quite shocking stuff, and I'm nearly done. You're nearly going to have a chance to talk about it. But contrast that, listen up, with the Jesus who says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, all you who are weighed down by Instagram and Snapchat, and those of you who don't get enough sleep because you're playing computer games late into the night and watching YouTube, Jesus says to you and to me, come and get some rest. Not because Jesus is a hard ass, not because he wants to stop you having fun, like actually because Jesus loves you and he wants you to live life to the full. And we can see how if we don't get enough sleep, if we spend too much time on our phones and on our tablets, it stops us from experiencing the rest that you were made for. Okay. So, now what I'd like you to do is think about these questions, okay? We'll take 3 minutes. You got a minute on each one. What stood out to you in all of that? Like, what was like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that. What do you think about Jesus' invitation to get some rest? And what do you want to do about it? Okay. Okay, so time has moved on and we need to kind of wrap things up. So let's just come back together because I want to give you the experiment that some of you are going to want to try over the next 24 hours. Okay? So remember, like, this is really hard to do on our own. We've got a chance to do this as a group together, okay? So here's the challenge, okay? What I would like you to do, the first thing is try and get 8 hours of sleep tonight, okay? So some of us will find that pretty easy, okay? So those of you who are taking notes, try and get 8 hours of sleep tonight. The second one is, I want to invite us all to do a 24-hour digital fast together. So that's going to mean, but listen, you don't have to do it. This is an invitation. If you feel like, some of you might be thinking, I'm not addicted. Prove it. If you're not addicted, you won't find it very hard. Okay, but listen, let me tell you how it's going to work, okay? Remember, what I said last night, there's no judgment. You don't have to do any of this if you don't want to. But if you feel like, oh my goodness, those statistics are me, I struggle with that stuff. And if you want to take a step, this is something we can do together, to take a step to try to break the power of this stuff in our lives. And we can do it with the support of each other. Some of us, this has massive power over. And we can actually say together, actually, today's going to be enough. I'm still going to love my mobile phone. I'm still going to enjoy playing games. But actually, I don't want it to have complete power in my life. So I'm going to take a break from it. And I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to see what I notice. I've already been given one phone by someone straight away. Okay. Now, what we're going to do in a minute, we're going to move into a time of worship. And if you feel like, hey, I want to give this a go. You might want to like text your mum or dad and say, I'm not going to be in contact for 24 hours because I'm doing a digital fast. Anyone who has an emergency at home or anything like that, Matt has, all of your parents have his number, and so they'll be able to contact him. So you don't need to worry about that. So you can just text anyone you need to know if you want to do this and just say, hey, I'm not going to be in touch for 24 hours. I've done the same thing with my wife. I'm going to put my phone in a second, okay? So I've got this phone, and I've also got my phone, and I'm going to put both of those in a second. I'm just going to turn mine off and put it on airplane mode, okay? And whilst we're worshiping, if you feel like, yeah, I want to join in, come and put your phone in one of these buckets. We'll keep them safe, and we'll give them back to you at this time tomorrow night, okay? So if you want to have a go, then you can, okay? And... yeah, so let's roll into worship now, and okay, can I just get your attention again? Okay, so just listen up 1 second, because some of you, I know that some of you will listen, everyone please, I just want to say one more thing. Some of you don't have your mobile phones down here, okay? They're up in your room. We're going to keep the buckets around at the bottom of the stairs until they're going to be available until everyone goes off to the bonfire, okay? So if you do want to and your phone's in your room, don't worry, you can still take part. We'll keep one of these buckets available for you to come and put it in if you want to do it, okay? And we'll, like, come and speak to me or Matt if you've got any other questions. Let's worship. If you want to join in, come and bring your phone to the front and let's get started.